This is Ravening Wolves by Monica Farrell from 1949, Part 5. Forcible conversion of Serbian Orthodox people to Catholicism and destruction of Orthodox churches. From the very beginning, the Ustashi authorities have inaugurated a system of terror, whereby they have forced many Orthodox Serbs to be converted to the Catholic faith. The close cooperation between the Catholic Church and the Ustashi authorities is known, which is also evidenced by the fact that among the Ustashi officials there are a great number of Catholic priests. The first intimidation for conversion to Catholicism was directed against the state employees, who were advised that in the Croatian state's employ, only those Orthodox people might remain who would embrace the Catholic faith. But in effect, this was only a ruse, thus depriving the Serbian people of having their clergy. The Roman Church forced the Orthodox people to the Catholic rites. According to the testimony of Reverend Janko Vijakovic, pastor of Grbavic, the Catholic priests there led the armed Ustashi in the closing of Orthodox churches and the confiscation of church records, also in the plundering of all church valuables. At Banja Luka, an official order was issued directing that all of the Orthodox church records, parentheses of marriages, baptismals, burials, etc., end parenthesis, be delivered forthwith to Catholic parishes, which order was later extended throughout the territory of the former Croatian province. Catholic priests took possession of the Serbian bishop's residence at Pakrac and locked and sealed the cathedral, all of which occurred April 12, 1941. This was all being done in accordance with the plans of the Croatian state officials, which is evidenced by a speech by Dr. Viktor Gutic, a high Ustashi official of Banja Luka, on July 9, 1941, at Pernjavor. Among other things in his speech on that day, Dr. Gutic said, quote, "In this countryside, there are three churches which were taken away from the Croatian people. One of these is in Pernjavor. Tomorrow you shall take possession of it and display thereon a sign, Croatian Hall. Those of you who are of the Orthodox religion should at once embrace the Catholic faith, so that I need not make special decisions in this respect. And as for this Serbian nest in Pernjavor, I promise that I will come here and take 24 hours' time to clean it up. I will kill, and you shall follow me." Unquote. Parenthesis. Apparently, Dr. Gutic had in mind the three Russian Orthodox churches, which are located within the district mentioned in his speech. End parenthesis. On the afternoon of July 10, 1941, the Serbian Orthodox priest in Pernjavor was thrown out of his residence. His church was confiscated, and upon the church edifice there was a large sign, Croatian Hall, displayed. Not long ago, Mile Budak, also a high Ustashi official, publicly declared that upon the territory of the Croatian independent state, only two religions may be recognized, to wit, the Catholic and the Mohammedan, which meant that the Orthodox religion would not be further tolerated. Revolt against the Ustashi government. The heretofore mentioned beastly acts of the Croatians, tortures, murders of men, women, and children, Catholicizing by force, burning of buildings, churches, villages, and cities, as early as June 27, 1941, were endured by the Serbs in Croatia, hoping that somehow an end would come to such massacres and torture. However, things were getting worse every day. Deprived of the protection of any law, oppressed by an unheard-of terrorism, the Serbs in Croatia, running away from a sure death, began to leave their homesteads and their possessions, and to escape into the mountains, to take up arms in defense of their very lives. For that was the only thing to which they could resort under the circumstances. That is how the alleged, quote, revolt of the Chetniks, unquote, began in Herzegovina, Bosanska, Krajina, Lika, and other parts of Croatia where the Serbs live. Efforts to exterminate the Serbs, mass murders, economic annihilation, and especially forced deportations from their homes without any possessions at all, compelled these unfortunate people to resist. All who could escape ran for their lives into the mountains, for they had no protection of any kind, either from the authorities or from their own leaders, for they were all dead or in refuge. The people began to help themselves the best they knew how. They took up arms, and with arms, but without food, and often without water, they had to protect their very lives. These criminal acts on the part of the Croats stirred to revolt this otherwise respectable, pious, law-abiding, and peace-loving people, who have always been nationalistically very conscious, because their most sacred feelings were deeply hurt. Since all of the clergy were exterminated, the people were forced to the Catholic religious rites, which was the culmination of attacks against the Serbs. It is to be understood, however, that the people have refused to avail themselves of these, and have consequently ceased to celebrate marriages or receive baptism and other religious rites, including funeral services, all of which, it is evident, tends to indicate that by such conduct on the part of the Croatian authorities, the ground for Bolshevism and anarchy is being efficiently prepared in these provinces. In the name of the Serbian Orthodox Church, Bishop Valerian of Budim, a Bulgarian rector's appeal. A letter from a well-known rector of a Bulgarian theological seminary addressed from Sofia, Bulgaria, to the bishop of the German Protestant Church in Berlin. Your Eminence, the possession of the physical properties was taken over by the Roman Catholic Church. It is quite evident that the Roman Catholic Church in the Croatian state, together with the Roman Catholic clergy and Catholic leaders, were spiritual instigators and in some instances actual leaders in these persecutions, all in an effort to enforce the conversion of the Serbian Orthodox people into Catholicism. With the same purpose in mind, the state employees of Orthodox faith were warned by printed pamphlets, a copy of which is on file, that in the Croatian state employ only those might remain who embraced the Catholic faith. Catholic Weekly approves. Roman Catholic and Mohammedan. Catholic Weekly, official organ of the Catholic Diocese in Sarajevo, approves the methods of the destruction of the Orthodox Church as being, quote, to the glory of God, unquote, and concludes, quote, "Today, the hour has struck when even we, among the Catholics, now and forever, shall part with the prejudices against the revolutionary methods which serve truth, justice, and honesty. The Catholic Church is the best educator and instigator of such movements, but there have been many Catholics among whom there were even organs of the Church who failed in their mission. Therefore, once and forever, idiotic arguments shall cease, as they are not becoming to those in the service of Christ. The fight against evil and rottenness shall not be waged with gloves or in a fine or noble manner." Unquote. Confession of a Croatian Ustasha. Quote, "In 1938, I came to Belgrade, where I have lived continuously up to the present time. At first, I peddled various articles along the streets, and later I was engaged as a handyman with the Central Transport Society in Belgrade, No. 1 Kolarcheva Street. On the day of the bombardment, April 6, 1941, I was in Belgrade. Immediately, I went to my army command at Sisak, according to my war orders, and there I reported to the commander of the 44th Infantry Reserve Regiment. The regiment had received orders to proceed to Slavonska Poziga, and from there we left to take up positions in a village on the outskirts of Poziga. I don't remember the exact date, but I believe it was the 17th or 18th of April 1941. I was at home only 8 days when I received a notice from the military command in Pedrinja to report at once to the military district in Pedrinja. When I reported, I was immediately given a uniform, and there I remained in the barracks for a month, where we did military drills according to new regulations. At the beginning of the month of June 1941, my regiment received orders to go to Glina to restore peace and order in the Glina district and to collect all weapons and ammunition from the civilians. Before the departure of the regiment, the commander, Captain Josip Dobrich, born in Split and by profession a teacher, ordered us to search every house and all premises in every town we came to, regardless of whether these homes were of Orthodox or of Catholic citizens. He also ordered us to kill anyone who would resist us. Upon our arrival in Glina, we accomplished the searching of the buildings there first, and then after that we went to the surrounding villages. This search lasted about 15 days. When the search ended, the Ustashi from Zagreb and Pedrinja came, and then we were ordered to round up all men between 20 and 45 years of age in the villages. During this roundup, one Orthodox man in the village of Semernichi resisted and fired at us. My companion was wounded, so I used my rifle and killed him. I do not remember the name of the dead man. In the beginning, we arrested men. We rounded them up from the villages and brought them to Glina, and there we placed them in the court jail. They remained in jail for a few days until the jails were filled, and then the prisoners were killed. The killing was accomplished in more than one fashion. Some were locked in the Orthodox Church in Glina. About 1,000 men could stand in that church. Then the commanding captain would order 15 men to execute the work of killing. Before they would leave for this job, they were given alcoholic drinks, to some rum, to others strong whiskey, and when they became intoxicated, they were given knives and sent into the church. During the slaughtering, guards were posted outside the church. This was necessary because some of the Orthodox men would climb to the belfry and jump into the churchyard. All of these were killed by the guards in the churchyard. 3 times I was ordered to execute the commander's orders and participate in the killings in the church. Each time, some officers would go along, Joseph Dobrich and Mihaljo Sitkovich, and besides them, some of the officers of the Ustashi. Upon entering the church, the officers would stand at the door and watch our work of slaughtering. The killing was done by striking some directly into the heart with a knife, and some across the neck, and others wherever we landed the knife. If some Serbian survived the first blow, the Ustashi would finish him up with a knife. At the time of these killings, no lights were burning in the church, but special soldiers were designated to hold flashlights which would throw light into the room. Many times it would happen that some Serb would throw his fist at us or kick his foot into our stomachs, and he was immediately cut to pieces. During these killings, there was a great deal of noise in the church. The Serbs would cry out, "Long live King Peter! Long live Queen Marie! Long live Serbia! Long live the Serbs! Down with Quisling Pavelic! Down with the Ustashi! Down with the state of Croatia!" These killings would usually last until about 2 o'clock in the morning, or until the last Serb was killed. These killings in the church took place 7 or 8 times, and I participated in them 3 times. During these killings, we were so soaked with blood that our uniforms could not be cleaned, and we would change uniforms at the storehouse and later wash them out. After each slaughter, the church was washed up and the trucks would come to take away the corpses. They would usually throw them into the river, but some they would bury. Some of the men of the Orthodox faith would be taken from jail and taken to the shores of the nearby river, where they would be lined up and shot to death with machine guns. This sort of killing would take in from 300 to 400 men at one time. They would be lined up in 2 groups along the shore, with their hands tied to 1 rope, and thus standing, they were mowed down by machine guns, which were not far away. These executions were done by the Ustashi. The corpses of those killed along the shore were thrown into the river. Some groups of Serbs were taken from the jail and killed in the woods near Glina, and later their bodies were buried in the same place where the killings occurred. The roundup of Serbs was done by having about 70 Ustashi and about 30 of us soldiers go to a town, all being under the command of Ustashi officers. The town was always surrounded, and a designated group went in to round up the Serbs. When gathered, they were taken under guard to the court jail in Glina. At first, we took only men, but later we were ordered to bring along women, also from 15 to 50 years of age. During these trips, I saw some of the Ustashi and my companions rape the women and girls, and later they would take them to Glina. Here, they would all be placed in the court jail and later taken to some requisitioned houses, which were transformed into military outposts. They remained there from 8 to 10 days, after which they were permitted to return to their homes. I saw outposts. Some of the Ustashi would enter at night and take away the women upon whom they wanted to force their lovemaking to some spot on the outskirts of town, and later return them to the outposts. This practice was not forbidden by the officers, and some of the officers did the same thing. My regiment had the task of gathering all the Serbs in Glina and in the Glina district, but it was ordered that all the Serbs from the districts of Topusko and Vrgin Most were to be taken to Glina and there executed. I don't know how many Serbs were executed, but from conversation with my companions, I should say there were about 120,000 Serbs killed in Glina. During these roundups of Serbs, many of them escaped to the forest with weapons, and some of them are still in Petrova Gora. Once the Ustashi went to find them, but the Serbs pounced upon them and fought them. About August 20th of this year, a notice was posted inviting all Serbians to return to their homes and their work. At this time, we were ordered not to touch or kill any of them. Whoever should disobey this order was to be court-martialed. I stayed in Glina until September 3rd, 1942, when I was discharged because other soldiers were called for drilling. From Glina, I returned to Belgrade with the intention of returning to my old job, but I was jailed by the police. To the above, I have nothing more to add. These minutes were read to me, and my statements were recorded exactly as I stated them. I am literate. At Belgrade, October 20th, 1942, signed, Himilja Berberovic. And this concludes part 5 of Ravening Wolves by Monica Farrell from 1949.